unfiltered.
I'm not sold. I'm sorry.
Unapologetic.
I'm not trying to talk about him.
Unlike anyone else.
But knowing y'all.
Y'all will probably make me.
This is the Stephen A. Smith Show.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to the latest edition of the Stephen A. Smith Show, coming at you as I love to do every weekday from 1 to 3 p.m. Eastern Standard Time over the airwaves of SiriusXM Mad Dog Sports Radio. Number to call up, as always, is 888-MAD-DOG-6. That's 888-MAD-DOG-6. That's 888-623-3646. And if being on with me live is something you can't wait for and you want to leave a voicemail message, just go to SiriusXM.com/GetSerious to leave your voicemail message. Once again, that's SiriusXM.com/GetSerious to leave your voicemail message. Going to be jam-packed today. New college football rankings came out. A couple of things that I have to say about a couple of teams and where they're ranked compared to where others are ranked. I'm definitely going to do that. I'm definitely going to get into Draymond Green and what he had to say about Dak Prescott, of all people. I found those comments interesting, something to disseminate to the masses and have an opine about. Definitely will intend to do that. Of course, we'll be heavy on the NFL altogether. Because the NFL trading deadline expired yesterday at 4 p.m. And the story of the day involved the New York Jets, the Indianapolis Colts, ultimately Sauce Gardner, a premier cornerback in the National Football League, departing from the New York Jets and ultimately going to the Indianapolis Colts. In some people's eyes, it was a bigger deal that Quinnen Williams from the New York Jets was also moved. He ended up becoming a Dallas Cowboy. And so he's going to be with the Dallas Cowboys, and obviously it improves their run defense with him and Logan Wilson from Cincinnati and what have you, Jerry Jones for the Dallas Cowboys already acquired. One would argue that the Dallas Cowboys' run defense has been vastly improved, that their ability to get to the pass has been somewhat improved with Williams arriving. I'm of the mindset that it's too little too late. I know that Quinnen Williams can ball. I know that everybody's looking at him and they're saying, hey, this is a good move by Jerry Jones. It's a good move for the Dallas Cowboys. It's a good move. It's an upgrade. I get all of that. I'm just of the mindset that they're 3-5-1. And there's 11 teams in the National Football League Conference that's ahead of the Dallas Cowboys. They're not going anywhere this season. That's just the bottom line. Let's look at it. Let's call it what it is, okay? Let's really look at things and what it is. Do you understand that the Dallas Cowboys have two complete divisions that have a better record than them? The NFC North, every team in the NFC North and every team in the NFC West have a better record than the Dallas Cowboys. That would be Green Bay. That would be Detroit. That would be Minnesota. That would be Chicago. Who, by the way, Chicago beat Dallas. In the NFC West, that would be Seattle. That would be LA. That would be San Francisco. That would be the Arizona Cardinals, who just beat the Dallas Cowboys. Not to mention Tampa. Not to mention the Philadelphia Eagles already 3.5 games ahead of the Dallas Cowboys. It's a wrap. It's a wrap. Dallas Cowboys ain't going anywhere this season, okay? Because Jerry Jones didn't pull the trigger on this deal a week earlier. Perhaps had you done that, there's a couple of games, or at the very least one game that you might have won. But because you waited until you're 3-5-1, I don't see how the Dallas Cowboys, I don't see how the Dallas Cowboys overcome this. So the Dallas Cowboys ain't going anywhere. I'm so surprised. I'm so surprised. They're not going anywhere this season. But as you look at it and you look at the trading deadline and what expired, I find myself looking at a couple of things. Number one, still props to Jerry Jones for making the moves, because I think Dallas' future, listen, I don't think it looks that bad. You end up losing Micah Parsons, okay? One of the premier pass rushers and what have you. You want to make yourself look good. You got two first-round picks in Kenny Clark, a defensive tackle, in the deal for Dak Prescott. You've now materialized that deal in ultimately getting a Quinnen Williams, ultimately getting a Logan Wilson, ultimately having your Kenny Clark. And yes, you gave up. You gave up some goods in order to get Quinnen Williams. I understand that. But in the end, you did what you need to do. And with the offensive personnel that you have, if you're anything defensively, the future might end up looking a bit bright for the Dallas Cowboys. Just not this season. And my attitude is, if you were going to make a move before the trading deadline expired, it needed to be for now. It needed to be for this season. It needed to be for you having a shot to get to the postseason. And you have no shot. You have no shot. Now, as I scour the rest of these teams, looking at what transpired during the NBA NFL trading deadline, which expired yesterday at 4 p.m., Once again, we got to take a moment to pay homage to arguably the best executive in the sport, which is Howie Roseman for the Philadelphia Eagles. And perhaps, I know he got this Cat Phillips from Miami, all right? Jalen Phillips, linebacker, Jared Alexander for the Baltimore Ravens, neither are who what they used to be, but still can get the job done, okay? But these are the Eagles. It's right there for you to see it. 2027, seventh round pick, quarterback Michael Carter II, 2027, seventh round pick, and running back Tank Bigsby, okay? This is what the Eagles received. You traded John Mechie. Remember him out of Alabama? I still think Alabama would have won the national title that year that Georgia won it if him and Jameson Williams didn't get hurt. One guy hurt in the semifinals and another guy hurt in the national championship game. That's just a story for another day, though. But you traded away a 2026 third-round pick, a 2026 fifth-round pick, two 2026 sixth-round picks, a 2027 sixth-round pick as well. You're the Philadelphia Eagles. You're the reigning defending Super Bowl champions. Perhaps the biggest thing that they did was not in who they traded away, but who they held on to, and that was A.J. Brown. I am not an advocate of moving A.J. Brown, and evidently neither was Howie Roseman. Listen to what the executive for the Philadelphia Eagles had to say about not deciding to move A.J. Brown, wide receiver standout. Listen to Howie Roseman here.
I think that when you're trying to be a great team, it's hard to trade great players, and A.J. Brown's a great player. He wears the C for a reason. He's an important part of this team, of this organization. He cares about winning. He cares about his teammates. And, you know, I think that when you're a team like ours that is looking forward to an opportunity to compete for a championship, you just don't get rid of the guys like that. And so feel very lucky to have him on our team and excited about the second half of the season with him.
Damn right. Damn right. You don't let go of A.J. Brown. And some of y'all out there, soft as cottonelle tissue, overreacting to every little thing that somebody says or does, talking about cryptic tweets and all of this other stuff. Get rid of A.J. Brown. Damn that. That brother could ball. He's a man amongst boys when it counts. And did it ever occur to y'all out there that one of the biggest reasons why you need to applaud and have that kind of attitude, it ain't like he hasn't gotten paid. He's getting paid over $32 million. $32 million. He's getting paid over $32 million, but he still wants the damn ball. Why, do you ask? 4.1 catches per game. The fewest that A.J. Brown has received since his rookie year in the National Football League. 56.4 receiving yards per year, per game, rather. That's a career low for him. 13.6 yards per reception. That's a career low for him. 57% catch rate. That's a career low for him. He has every right to sit up there and say, what the hell are we doing? This ain't Saquon Barkley running for 2,005 yards like he did last season. We got to throw the football more. You got me. You got Devontae Smith. You got Dallas Goedert. Get us the damn ball. And sure enough, he was right about that. And once the Eagles did it a little bit, you saw what they did to the Giants. So I'm just saying to you, listen, it's A.J. Brown that we're talking about here. And we got to take that into consideration. We really, really should. But that's just me. 888-MAD-DOG-6 is always the number to call up. It's 888-623-3646. I consider the Eagles winners for the trade deadline. Not just because of what they did, but because of what they didn't do. I think the Eagles are the team to beat in the NFC. You doubt it, something wrong with you. Every time we believe in Detroit, something happened. Like a loss last weekend. We look at the Green Bay Packers, you're going to go out there and lose at the buzzer to the Carolina Panthers. You ain't Dallas. Oh, by the way, you tied Dallas earlier this year when you went back to Texas, giving up 40 points in the process. Damn. Tampa's got a plethora of injuries. We understand that. The Commanders, don't get me started with that. Their season's over. Jaden Daniels, it's over. Elbow injury, God bless him. We hope he's okay. It's over. You think Marcus Mariota going to take you someplace? That's done. Dallas can't come back from their deficit. So you got all of that going on. And then you look at the rest of the NFC North. How about Detroit? All right, fine. How about Green Bay? How about J.J. McCarthy? And that dime he threw, converting a third and 14 or whatever it was. You know, to seal a game this past week. rookie quarterback. Even though he's not really a rookie technically, he is a rookie literally as far as I'm literally not a rookie, but technically he is because he didn't play last year's rookie year because of the MCL injury. But bottom line is Kevin O'Connell, the quarterback whisperer, working magic with his quarterback, believes in the kid, and the kid's not making him out to be a liar. When he's been healthy, he's performed decent. And then, of course, there's the Chicago Bears. And granted, there's a reason to lose hope for them when you give up 42 points to the Cincinnati Bengals. You're up 41-27, and you're going to give up the lead just like that. But they ended up making a big play against Cincinnati's defense that forgot how to tackle. And now Chicago is at 5-3. They're at 5-3. The Lions are at 5-3. Vikings at 4-4. All records better than the 3-5-1 Dallas Cowboys. And then we get on over to the NFC West. You really, really think after the Seattle Seahawks team you saw on Monday night against the Commanders, or Sunday night rather, you really, really think that Seattle can't make noise? Have y'all been watching the way Sam Darnold has been playing? Now, granted, it's not late in the season yet because we all know he wet the bed on the season finale last year when he was in Minnesota against Detroit, and then they lost in the playoffs. They had to fight for number one seed, and him and the Vikings losing that game dropped them to a fifth seed. They ended up going against the Rams in the playoffs and then getting bounced up out of there. Are you sure that you're ready to write Sam Darnold off, though? Because right now I got news for you. He's one of the top candidates for league MVP honors. That's how much he's been balling. Charbonnet and Kenneth Walker III, they can run with that football. They can do it. And Jigba, we know what he can do pass catching. And we know what McDonald's defense looks like in Seattle. And Lord help you if you got to go to Seattle and play in front of that home crowd. And you're the road team. You don't want that. L.A. has Matthew Stafford and Puka Nacua when it counts. Case closed. San Francisco don't know when Brock Purdy's going to be back. Kyle Shanahan winning with Mac Jones. Can't sleep on San Francisco either. So there you have it. You got to look at all of those possibilities and say to yourself, okay, what's the deal there? I don't know. As I look, however, at some of these moves that were made, I will say that I thought Buffalo should have done something to get Josh Allen another pass catcher. I really did. I really did. I thought Kansas City could have used some help on the defensive side of the ball. But I definitely know I felt that Buffalo needed some help with a pass catcher. You got to get some more weapons for Josh Allen. You can't leave him hanging out like that. Just can't do it. Just can't do it. 888-MAD-DOG-6 is 888-623-3646. That's the number to call right here into the Stephen A. Smith Show, SiriusXM, Mad Dog Sports Radio. Lots of stuff to get into. I'm not going anywhere. Got a whole bunch of stuff to get into. Some NFL action, some college football action, some NBA action. Some NBA player talking smack about an NFL quarterback action. All of that and more coming up next. Before I go to break, at 888-MAD-DOG-6, 888-623-3646. Let's go to the phones. Let's go to the Chris in St. Louis. You're live with Stephen A. What's up, Chris? Talk to me.
Hey, how's it going? My family and I enjoy your commentary, sir. You're welcome. And I appreciate what you do. I'm a longtime Jets fan, and I do not understand why they made those trades yesterday.
Well, I will say this to you, Chris. They got 5 first-round picks over the next 2 years.
Can I just ask you,
yeah,
why has it been so difficult in New York to find a quarterback for the team? Why?
Well, I mean, find a quarterback is a lot of different places. Pittsburgh couldn't find one for years. Various teams can't find one for years. It's hard. I mean, the bigger issue is Sam Darnold was in your camp. Why is he performing for somebody else? Why is it that Justin Fields looks so much worse with you than he ever looked as a Pittsburgh Steeler? Those are the appropriate questions to ask.
Is that, sir? What is your opinion? I'm just trying to figure it out because Yeah, all those drafts.
I just think they're a relatively inept organization that's still trying to find their way. I had a source tell me that when you look at the New York Jets, it was Woodie Johnson that hired Herm Edwards, Mike Tannenbaum, folks like that. They did say they did point that out. Todd Bowles as well, along with a few others. I get that part. My whole point is that doesn't negate what you haven't done. And when you have the Adam Gases of the world and all of this other stuff, I mean, it just doesn't look good. You got to figure it out. And they haven't figured it out. And that's your problem. When you have an organization that gives no reason to have faith that they'll figure it out, that's problematic.
Well, sir, can I ask you, as a New Yorker, do you think it's something to do with the limelight, the spotlight of being there, the media?
No. No. I just don't think that organizationally they're very good. I really don't. You get out on that field, you're still working out, you're still doing what you got to do. I don't think it has anything to do with that in this particular instance. The Jets have been historically bad, and we know we got to start talking about them. We got to start talking about, if we're going to talk about them, we got to talk about them in its proper context. Because I'm looking at the New York Jets right now, and I'm saying, what reason do you have to be supportive of this franchise right now? The New York Jets haven't been in the playoffs since 2010. It's going to mark 15 years since they made a playoffs. Yeah, you know how bad you have to be to go 15 straight years without being able to make the playoffs? I'm not sure I would have any faith in anybody making the decisions, but that's just me. Appreciate the call, man. Thank you so much. Tally in the Bronx, you're live with Stephen A. Talk to me, Tally. What's up?
Good afternoon, Mr. Stephen A. I got the Sixers showing how they can win without Joel Embiid being a main option. I got Victor Wembanyama being that false multiplier since LeBron James. And I got, who's going to be traded first, Zion or Ja Morant? What are your major three storylines 1 week into the NBA season?
Well, if I had to guess who would be, if I had to guess, well, first of all, Wembanyama is the storyline. The brother's sensational. He may win Defensive Player of the Year and MVP this year. That's number one. Number two, I think Ja Morant would be moved before Zion Williamson, because I think that there's a part of me that believes that Ja Morant is so disgusted and so unhappy that he wants out, and he doesn't mind coming across as a bit cantankerous because he doesn't want to be there. And causing those kind of headaches could get him moved, and it's something he'd welcome. But I will tell you, having said all of that, when I think about, just scouring the league right now, the NBA, and seeing what I'm seeing, Luka's looked sensational. Wemby has looked spectacular. I don't understand why the Knicks have been struggling a little bit. I saw Chicago come back from a 24-point deficit and beat the Philadelphia 76ers last night.
They seem to be the comeback kids so far this year. The Bulls coming back from a lot of games with 20 points down.
It's early, though. It's early, though. But I love Tyrese Maxey with this kid Edgecombe in the backcourt. And Lord help anybody if Joel Embiid comes back healthy enough to play with them, what kind of damage he's going to do, if he's anywhere close to 100% when all is said and done. So those are my answers to your question. I get where you're coming from. I got to go to break, though, my man. So I'll talk to you later, Tally. Thank you for the call. 888-MAD-DOG-6 is the number to call up. It's 888-623-3646. More of your comments, more of my comments, and then some in a minute. You're listening live to the Stephen A. Smith Show, Sirius XM Mad Dog Sports Radio. Back with more in a minute.